And right out of the box, good stuff, as we are joined by veteran broadcaster, great friend of our show, Sean McDonough. Sean, a good Thursday afternoon to you.
And the same to you, Rich. Thanks. Always nice to be with you. I hope you're doing well.
Absolutely. And you've had yourself quite a busy few weeks here, logging some serious miles.
Yeah, I've been bouncing around the last 2 weeks. Was to the Final Four to broadcast that for ESPN International. ESPN has the broadcast rights to the Final Four in every other country in the world except the United States. And then down to Augusta to host the Par 3 contest on Wednesday, the day before the Masters started, and then picked up with the Red Sox on radio for the last 7 days. So it's been a busy stretch the last 2 weeks, from ASB Phoenix, Minneapolis, Augusta, Boston, New York, and now back in Boston for another day or two before we go back to Arizona for about another month.
Well, it was great to hear your voice back on the Red Sox broadcast again. How did that whole thing come about?
Well, when they made the decision last fall to move on from Tim Neverett, you know, I think they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, and they reached out to me and asked if I had any interest, and there's just no way with my commitment to ESPN that I could do all the radio games, and I think at this stage in my life I know what I want to. You know, it's really, it's a grind to be on there all, you know, every day. You know, the Red Sox tonight are starting, or tomorrow night, start a stretch of, you know, 20 games in 20 days, and you know, there are very few off days during the baseball season. So, you know, I wasn't very interested in that, to be quite candid. And then they called me back a month or two later and said they were going to kind of hodgepodge it, at least for this year, and have a rotating group of announcers alongside Joe Castiglione. So they asked me if I'd be interested in being a part of that and not having to do anywhere near all the games. So, you know, they basically said you can do as many games as you'd like, and you can pick which ones you do. So I'd be an idiot to say yeah, no to that. So we decided on about 30 games, most of them home games. You know, a couple of games at Yankee Stadium, obviously. But I'm glad I said yes. I did, because I thought it would be fun, and it's been a lot of fun. It would obviously be more fun if the team was playing better.
Well, let's talk about that. You've seen this team up close a little bit, struggling like few have struggled after winning a World Series championship. And it starts with the starting pitching, although last night Nate Eovaldi looked pretty good. It was the bullpen that let him down. Do any of those starting pitching struggles seem like the kind of thing that they can't overcome eventually?
Well, I think the one who is totally lost right now is Rick Porcello. In his last start, I mean, he just looked like he was completely lost and had nothing that he could go to. You know, at least the others, as you said, Eovaldi had a good start last night. Price was there the last time out. So was Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, Sale, the line wasn't good. You know, he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, but at least the velocity was back up, so that's not a concern that his arm's hurt and can't throw hard or as hard as he used to. You know, he just is lacking the feel on his slider, and you know, that's been a great weapon for him throughout his career. So I think if he can get that back, he'll be fine, because I don't think he's hurt. There was some speculation that he might be. But of all of them, Porcello's the one I'd worry about the most, because it just looks like he doesn't have any command and any confidence in anything right now.
Some troubling news about Dustin Pedroia, as he came out last night. He had had to DH in recent days. And as much as he would love to see that knee allow him to get back out there, it's troubling him once again, and who knows what his future holds.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. It's a big thing to come back from, especially his age. And, you know, they've taken it very easy with him, with an eye toward, you know, protecting that knee and making sure that they're not pushing him more than they should early in the year. So, you know, the fact that it's happened, particularly when they were being very careful, is, as you said, very distressing, to say the least.
Otherwise, is this simply a hangover from the World Series, or are there other issues at play, do you think, with this team?
Well, I don't know if it is. You know, I know Alex Cora has asked me, saying he doesn't believe in that sort of thing. You know, I don't think they're as bad as they played. They probably weren't as good as they looked last year, too. I mean, to win 108 games, 119 total. You know, everything went their way last year. You know, a lot of guys had what might turn out to be career years. But I think, you know, there are enough guys who have a proven track record. Mookie Betts, most notably for me, among the everyday players. You know, you have to believe they're going to get it together and get back at least close to what they have demonstrated that they can be and usually are. So, Yeah, I wouldn't give up hope yet, but with each day, obviously, they dig a bigger hole. And, you know, they're just not playing good baseball in any phase of the game right now. You know, the defense hurt them again last night. Nunez made a very sloppy error. You know, as you said, Workman came in. He hadn't given a run all year. He was not sharp. You know, you can't walk the number 7 and number 9 hitters, especially in that lineup, because you know, the Yankees are playing a lot of guys who probably would be in the minor leagues if they didn't have so many injuries. So, you know, they're just doing a lot of things that you can't do to be a good team and win games, and it's a lot of things that they didn't do last year.
We're talking with Sean McDonough here on Downtown. I look around the American League, though, and I have to think that when all is said and done, they'll be right in the mix for a playoff spot, because there are so many teams that, well, I know the commissioner doesn't like to use the term tanking, but there sure seem to be some teams that aren't giving their best to try and win this year, at least in terms of roster makeup. Is that bad for baseball in the long run?
Well, yeah, I think it's very tough on the fan bases. You know, when you're a fan of the Baltimore Orioles, and for the most part they've been bad for a long time. They had a couple of good years a few years back, but for the most part they haven't been very good. And now you say, realistically, it's probably 3 years before we're going to compete again. You know, that's a very sobering reality. You know, Toronto, I think, is closer to being a competitive team. They seem to have more prospects, particularly prospects who are closer to being ready to play in the majors. It's hard to identify who Baltimore's prospects are. And as you said, there are a couple other teams around the American League, Kansas City, for sure, maybe the Chicago White Sox, to name a couple more, who probably realistically are not expecting to win this year. So, yeah, I don't think it's good for baseball when you have a lot of teams, at least a few teams, that aren't really trying to be competitive right now.
Sean, it was a tremendously exciting college basketball tournament. Virginia was such a great story after being eliminated by Maryland Baltimore County in the first round last year. Did you have a good experience with your broadcast of games?
I really did. I was happy for Virginia. I do the big Monday game, as we call it, at ESPN every Monday night. It's always an ACC game. So we've had a lot of Virginia games in recent years, and just really admire Tony Bennett. You know, I think he's one of the very best coaches in the country. You might even say right now he's the best with what they've done in the ACC, which to me, there's no question, it's the best college basketball conference. When you're winning the regular season title 4 out of 6 years in a league that has Duke and North Carolina and a lot of other programs, you're doing a great job. And you know, especially because that loss, the first time ever for a number one seed to lose to a 16 seed last year, you know, Tony's taking a lot of grief about, oh, he can't win in the tournament and blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of glad he shut that whole thing down, and just admire him a great deal as a person. You know, he's a great family guy. He's a man of considerable faith. He's great with his players. He's great in the community, and he's a terrific coach. So I was happy for them. I think it's a classy program, and it really starts with the coach.
Sean, I heard you on one of the Red Sox broadcasts last weekend talking about the late Nick Cafardo. He was a guy that you knew very well, and of course, strong connections with your family to the Boston Globe. I didn't know Nick very well, but he came on the show a number of times. But seems to be that rare individual that nobody, either in the media world or athletes and coaches, no one has a negative word to say about him.
You know, that's true, and I think I said it last night. You know, if someone said a negative word about Nick, I would question that person's judgment, because, you know, he didn't have a mean bone in his body. He was nice to everyone. I thought he was very fair in his journalist. He wasn't a bomb tosser, but he wasn't also afraid to acknowledge something that wasn't right, a team that wasn't playing well, particularly the Red Sox. But he was universally well-liked and respected around baseball. I think that's why it hit so many people. Sometimes I'm trying to lose 62, but I think you saw how strong those people feel about it. I still get sad thinking about it. You know, it's a great loss. I've been talking to him quite a bit just before his passing, because he was finishing a book with Jim Lemon a couple months ago. They were kind enough to ask me to write the foreword for it, so I was corresponding with Nick quite a bit about it, and it was great to reconnect with him, because I haven't seen him as much in recent years when I've been away from the Red Sox now for a while, but great man and great at what he did, and it's one of those things we're still having a hard time processing.
I'm sure. Well said, Sean McDonough, ESPN, and so excited that you'll be on. What, about 25 or so more Red Sox games this year?
Yeah, I think I've done 7 now, and the total was 30, 31, 32. There's a couple dates that are still up in the air where I may have a conflict. But, about 25 more, and I'm really looking forward to it. As I said, I hope the team starts playing better because it's more fun when they win for everybody, including the broadcasters, and particularly given what the expectations were. When WER approached me about doing it, one of the things I said was, when we'd be able to do some playoff games, it was almost as if it was a 4-month push into the deep playoffs. Based on the way they played last year and how they brought just about everybody back. But now they have a lot of work to do to make that part of it a reality. But it's been really fun. Joe Castiglione is a wonderful guy and a lot of fun to be with. So I'm looking forward to the rest of them. And the next one's in about a month or so when the Houston Astros are at Fenway.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing you then. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Sean. As always, thanks so much for making time for us, and we'll talk with you again down the road.
Always my pleasure, Rich. Thanks. Good luck here flying solo today. I'm sure you do your usual outstanding job.
I'll try not to break anything. Thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.
That's Sean McDonough with us here on Downtown, broadcasting Red Sox baseball again this year for a little over 30 games. And that's great for all listeners and Red Sox fans.